Hello, this is Pastor Rob of Bethel Church in Tempers Plains, where our mission is connecting people to God. Welcome to our podcast today. We have a very special guest with us today, and I believe you'll be blessed by this message. Isaiah tells us the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Please listen and receive this anointed message and allow the Holy Spirit to break any yoke or burden that may be hindering you today. God bless. Have a great day.
Anyway, turn in your Bibles today, if you will. I want to show you it's a sad verse and an encouraging verse at the same time. Then we're going to go to John. But turn over here, if you will, to Psalm 27 and verse number 10. Psalm 27, verse 10. Most of the time I cater to the holiday, whatever it is. What a country where they honor mothers and fathers. And a lot of people are trying to stop that because they're influenced of the devil. But I think it's a great thing that we honor fathers and mothers. Amen. And holidays, you know, just a great Labor Day, Memorial Day, good days. Good days for the worker and to remember those who have given the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. It's just a good thing. But a statement here is made in Psalm 27:10 says, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." I shared that with a young man at a youth camp probably 30 years ago, and I saw a pastor that was there not too long ago, and he told me that that young man still remembers that verse. Now, of course, we're not going to have a show of hands, but some of you might have great memories of your father. Others of you might not have so great memories of your father. Maybe some of you have tried forever to erase some things from memory, but I brought good news to you today. There's one in heaven who has never done you wrong, and he will never do you wrong. Can you say amen? The Bible says, when my mother and my father forsake me, at least I know there's one in heaven, the Lord will take me up. Amen? Now, we're not per se going to just preach to you fathers today. We're going to talk, though, about fatherhood, and mainly the fatherhood of God. If you'll go over to John chapter 8, I want to say something about the Old Testament and the New Testament. We would have never had the new without the old. And anybody that's trying to separate them and say, or not, well, there is a difference in them, but anybody that's trying to say we don't need anything out of the Old Testament, first of all, they're full of baloney. And you don't need to be listening to them, okay? We need the Old Testament. The law has a purpose. The law is the schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. Every young child should learn the Ten Commandments, but we're under grace. I know we're under grace, but they need to learn the Ten Commandments because the Ten Commandments will prick their little hearts and they'll know. See, this isn't just a list of stuff that you don't do. There's power in God's Word. And if you want your kid to not have a conscience, just keep them away from the Bible and keep them away from the things of God and the presence of God in church. You know, I was thanking God today. I don't know if you read it, Tiffany. I put something up about you and Mike, that little picture of our little Nadia, our little seven-year-old, her and one of her friends in her class Wednesday night at church. They had them praying for each other. And this little guy was praying for Nadia, and Nadia had her little hands up. You know, I thank God for kids that raise their kids in church and put a premium on church. Come on, amen. But there's hypocrites there. Well, there's heathens out there, so which one you want? Them old hypocrites ain't saved. Oh, yes, they are. There's a lot of hypocrites that are going to heaven. It's called grace. I don't believe that. Well, you need to go pray through and quit being so mean, is all I can say. Come on. I'm not telling you to be deliberately hypocritical, but every one of us, we all have shortcomings. And it's the grace of God. Even the great Simon Peter said in Acts 15 when he was talking to them preachers at that preacher meeting, he said, "Why put a yoke on these Gentiles that neither we nor our fathers could bear?" You say, "I keep the Ten Commandments." Well, congratulations, you got 603 more. There's 613 of them, plus what you read in Proverbs and Psalms, just the right and the wrong are listed all the way through the book of Proverbs. Folks, we've all broken God's law, so we all need a Savior. Amen? But when you get saved by grace, that doesn't mean that the Ten Commandments aren't so anymore. It still says, honor thy father and thy mother. Come on, amen. It still says that it's wrong to steal. It's wrong to commit adultery. It's wrong to lie. It's those are the bedrock of the foundation of society. But the difference I'm talking about today, I'm getting to my point here in a minute on fathers. I counted three times. And I believe it's Scofield or Dake or one of them that counted the New Testament ones. I never took time to count them. But it's 260-something. What are you talking about? I only found three times, Pastor, in the Old Testament where God referred to himself as father. But it was mainly in a ownership sense. You're sucking my air. I made you. You didn't make yourself. You know, I'm your father. I own you in that sense. And think of how thick the Old Testament is compared to the New Testament. There's at least 2 to 3 or 4 times more in the Old than there is the New. But the Old Testament only called him Father three times. And the New Testament, I'm thinking 267. 267 times, something changed at Calvary. Something changed in the New Testament. We are all sons and daughters now, not just servants of the Lord. Amen? We will get to that in just a minute. Now, there's great people that, you know, say one thing and I say something different. And I'm sure when we get to heaven that Jesus will pull them over to the side and let them know that I was right. But I believe hell had two compartments before Calvary. I got the nod from Brother Rod. I knew you knew it right too, Pastor. Amen. There was two compartments. There was a place called Paradise, Abraham's bosom. It was actually Hades, had two compartments, the places of the departed dead. And the wicked were in the bottom where the rich man went, and Lazarus went to the place of comfort in Abraham's bosom. All of those Old Testament saints, when they died, were saved. Now, this is where I'm going to differ with Dake, but weren't born again. They offered animal sacrifices all through the Old Testament, and Hebrews chapter 10 says, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and of goats to take away sin. It was a band-aid. It was a carryover. It was waiting until the real lamb came. But glory be to God, one day that lamb came, and his name is Jesus. And his cousin, his third cousin, said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He was coming down to get baptized. Hallelujah. And he got baptized, and you know his ministry and so forth. And then after he was born, after he was raised from the dead, that is, he met the disciples, and he breathed on them, just like God breathed into Adam. And I believe they were born again in John 20. He said, receive you the Holy Spirit. Then about 4 chapters later, he said, wait in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Well, there must be a difference in the work of the Holy Spirit. Come on, I'm full gospel. I believe in a subsequent work of grace. Come on, amen. They were born again by the Spirit in John 20, but they had to go wait for the empowerment. In every Christian, the Holy Spirit is present, but he wants to be president. Come on. Not just present, but president. And who all knows after Acts chapter 2, he was president, man. They jumped out of that upper room, went to preaching, getting people saved. There was up to 3,000 got saved right there in Jerusalem. Amen. Why? Because the power came. What about them saints in the Old Testament? The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4 that when Jesus was raised from the dead, he led captivity captive. I believe he went down there and said, okay, boys, it's time to go to the big house now. Come on. Come on, somebody. Amen. So they were there till he was raised from the dead, born again, went on to the Father. And now when you die, you don't go to Abraham's bosom. There is no more upper compartment of hell. Hell hath enlarged itself, okay? There's no upper compartment anymore. Now when the believer dies, he goes straight to be with the Lord because the Bible said to be absent from the body, come on, is to be present with the Lord, amen? You go right to the third heaven. I love you folks. I love my Methodist friends, my Baptist friends, but this is a charismatic church and you're acting so dead this morning. Somebody get halfway happy. I'm preaching good news to you this morning. When you die now, you go right to the presence of the Lord because there's no more upper compartment of hell. You go right to be with the Lord when you die. Hallelujah. Why? Because the real Lamb came. Hallelujah. Now in this New Testament, It's a different story. Go to chapter 8. You know, it's amazing people that quote verses and they don't read the context around them. That bothers me about more than anything. People will read chapter 8, verse 32. Look at 8:32. St. John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, that's a good verse. But then we got people inventing their own little truth. That don't work. You English teachers, that doesn't work. Catch myself every now and then. Hey, I've known some guys with doctorates that still call the church of the Corinthians the church at Corinth. You can't make this up, folks. It's true. Amen. You shall know the truth, and truth shall make you free. Now, I love it. Mr. Hannity on Fox News quotes that all the time. Let not your heart be troubled. You'll know the truth will make you free. But let's get some context here, Mr. Sean. Look at verse 31. And he said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, semicolon, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You're not going to know the truth until you continue in his word. That's why your pastor says read your Bible, not just to be telling you something to do, to be bossy. He knows that you need the Word of God. You need your mind renewed. You need to spend time in the Bible. Come on. It'll get rid of your stinking thinking. I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to start putting in my hand when I'm really wanting an amen. Okay, now go on over. So you saw the context there, didn't you? How about verse 36? And if the Son therefore shall make you free, you'll be free indeed. That's a great verse. I've never heard anybody though preach on verse 35. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, or truly, 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 I say unto you, whosoever committeth, I'm sorry, I'm reading 34, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abides ever. If the Son therefore, my brother Kenneth E. Hagin used to say, wherever you see a therefore, see what it's there for. I said, whatever you see a therefore, see what it's there for. The servant doesn't abide in the house, but the Son abides ever. And if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. Now, in the Old Testament, I don't mean to be so compartmentalized, but I'm going to be. They were servants of God who served God. In the New Testament, we're to serve God. We don't get up just because we're sons and daughters. You got to serve too. Also. Amen? But you're not a servant that serves anymore. You're a son or a daughter that serves. I give an illustration like this. Now back in the King James is very gentle here, very gentle. Very, very kind. I guess they didn't want to say slave. But technically the Greek word for servant is slave. The slave abides not forever, but the Son abides forever. The servant gets up and says, Master, what do I do today? Okay, I want you to go get on that little tractor and go to the back 40. I want you to bush hog that corner back there for me. Then I want you to come back, jump in the pickup, go into Ace Hardware, get me some 16-penny nails. Get back with that. The rest of the day, I want you to go in the barn and clean out the first two stalls. Well, at the end of the day, he says, sir, I got it done. Okay, we'll see you tomorrow. He goes to the bunkhouse. The Son comes and says, what's up today, Pops? He says, well, son, I want you to go back on that little tractor. I want you to go back there and cut that corner acre back there and cut that with a bush hog today. Then come back, jump in the truck, and go to town, get me some 16-penny nails, Ace Hardware. Then I want you to come back, and I want you to clean the first two stalls. But here's the difference. At the end of the day, the servant had to go to the bunkhouse. At the end of the day, the father puts his arm around the son, says, do you smell that? Your mom's got some fried chicken going up there, man. Come on, man. He puts his arm around the son, and they go walking up there. And they're sitting there chewing on a chicken leg. And the son says, so what's them 16-penny nails for? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, son. See, the servant just had to go do what he said, didn't know why. I'm giving you all kinds of chances to shout here. We're not just talking about some guy out here in Meigs County, okay? We're talking about your Father in heaven. He does not just tell you what to do, but he has a plan, and he wants to include you in it and let you know why he's doing it. That's the difference in the OT and the NT. Amen? Are you listening to me? Now go over, if you will, chapter 16, same book, chapter 16. Did you wear your shouting clothes? You should never come to Barber's Church without your shouting clothes on. Have Jesus, we'll shout. Now look at verse 13. Howbeit when he, talking about the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, and he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. That's a good verse right there, just to claim, stay out of trouble. He'll show you what's ahead. Verse 14. Now understand, you're listening to a preacher that is very Trinitarian. Do I totally understand the Godhead? No. And if you claim you do, if you claim that you do, you're all wet too, okay? But I just believe what's written. I'm so Trinitarian, I make my Trinity friends nervous. Okay, there's a Father and a Son and Holy Ghost. And it says here, now so I want to say that because I want you to think that way when you read verse 14. He, the Holy Spirit, shall glorify me, Jesus, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. That would be good, just if you stop right there, but check this out. All things that the Father hath are mine, Jesus. Therefore said I, Jesus, that he, the Holy Spirit, shall take the things of mine and shall show them unto you. Jesus knows everything the Father has. The Holy Ghost will show you everything Jesus has. And then he'll turn around and show them to you. That was the punchline. You must have missed it or something. See, the Father to Jesus to the Holy Spirit to you. You're in cahoots. You know why? He bought the 16 penny nails. Galatians 4. I thought I would just make this a spiritual message. It's just instead of just a daddy day. And we honor you dads. I are one. Come on. I got to open my present today at the drive-thru at McDonald's. Okay, look at verse six, in Galatians 4:6, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. They didn't even take the time to translate Abba. It's a Greek word, Abba, and really you can look it up. It means a daddy. It can also mean Papa. Papa, Daddy, you know. Now, my son calls me Daddy Pops. My daughter calls me Daddy. And my son-in-law calls me everything. But my daughter-in-law calls me Mr. Blaine. And my son-in-law sometimes just Pops, usually just Pops. I'm sorry, it's the other way around. I call him lots of stuff, but anyway. But I don't call him Meathead. I want you to know that, okay? Some of you watched Archie in your time, okay? But look at verse 7. Wherefore, like Brother Hagin used to say, wherever you see a wherefore or a therefore, see what it's there for. So we're going to see what this wherefore is there for. Verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, that doesn't mean you do not serve God. I ain't going to do anything in that church. They have a volunteer day. I ain't doing anything because I ain't a servant. I'm a son. No, you're a nut. And you've not read the New Testament. There's all kinds of verses that tell Christians to serve God. Come on, amen. It's time we, excuse me, but get off the blessed assurance and do something. Amen. You know, and as you do and as you serve, of course you serve, but you're not serving to get brownie points or to get status. You're not serving because you're trying to earn brownie points with God. You're already a son and a daughter. You're responding to the love that he already has. By the way, I want to make another comment about my son and daughter-in-law since they're here. I believe in giving roses to people while they can smell them. Amen? But two of the workingest people I've ever seen in my life. We had some surprise company coming in, And well, not really surprised. We planned it for about a month, but we've been busy. I'm finishing up a degree. Matter of fact, next weekend on the 24th, I'm graduating with a master's degree in church history. Come on. Amen. It's been a long journey, man. I'd get almost done, and then stuff in life would happen and didn't get it done. But I finally, I've been cramming on that and getting the paper out and everything. And anyway, it's really cool. But so they knew that. I didn't even ask them. But they knew we needed to weed eat, cut grass. That Carla is the grass cuttingest outfit I've ever seen in my life. She'll come on a 90-degree day. What are you doing over here today? I'm going to cut your grass. No, come in the evening. Come next week. It's going to be cooler. No, I need the exercise. And they cut grass, and they cleaned up my garage and put some stuff in the shed. And just, y'all, I just wanted you to know. And I never even asked them to. I had a friend down in Florida, Alan Spiegel. He's grace, real strong in grace, but boy, he put up some scathing stuff this week about grace people that think that it doesn't matter how you live, you know. So he ain't greasy grace, but he's an excellent grace preacher. And really revelation, I've learned a lot from Alan Spiegel. He tells a story about in his church he was at, this woman came up one day. If anybody wants to know, it's 11:27. Okay, and he told me 11:30 to 11:45, so we will get you out of here ahead of the Baptist. Okay, now, so I just wanted you to know I have my clock up here, and I am aware of what time it is, okay? But this lady came up and said, I got to tell you a story, Pastor Allen. She said, I guess she'd had a horrible marriage, a werewolf for a husband, mean, a slave driver. He'd give her big lists of things to do while he was at work. Didn't treat her right. Well, needless to say, I guess they were divorced, which is sad. But she said she got remarried. And her husband, they had some boxes and stuff they were cleaning out. And in one of those boxes, she found a note that her first husband had written her of stuff to do. And she looked at that note, and she said, Alan, I read that note. And everything on that note I was doing now without a note. Out of love in response to his love. See, don't think Jesus is some slave driver knocking you over the head, making you do something. Here's your list, do it. Like he's some austere, mean old man with a big club in his hand with spittle on his beard and cross-eyed. Come on, are you listening to me? That's not our Father in heaven. You serve me because you're my child. Amen. Turn to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to wind this up. Look at 2 Corinthians. Don't make me holler. Don't make me shout. Turn them Bibles inside out. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm sorry, chapter 6, verse 14. Now, I grew up, and I'm thankful. When I make comments about my upbringing, I have the sense of an old cow to know enough to eat the hay and spit out the sticks, okay? And in my church I grew up in, there's a lot more hay than there was sticks. I want to make that clear. I had a wonderful upbringing in church. My mom and dad put a premium on making me go to church. My uncle was the late Cash Ambergy. Maybe some of you remember that name, but especially around Cincinnati, he was well known. Took 80 trips to Israel and over 40 years, over 7,000 people to Holy Land. I got to go with him twice. He was a great man of God, but he was old school. Old school on everything. I mean, he thought the biggest abomination in America was men with long hair. And in my last 45 years of ministry, mine's been long half the time. You know, there's a lot more abominations in America than the length of somebody's hair. Come on, amen. So he was old school, just preaching the way. But the cool part about Cash Ambergy, he practiced what he preached. He didn't tell you to do it, and then he didn't do it himself. He practiced what he preached. He was a wonderful man of integrity and character. But I remember going to them camp meetings around our area in the circles we ran in, and they weren't really charismatic back then. They were old-time Pentecost. And I remember when you heard a preacher stand in the pulpit and start with 2 Corinthians 6:14, you knew somebody's skirt was too short or some man's hair was too long. Verse 14, be ye not Open your Bibles tonight, if you will, please. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath light with the... You know, man, they had the draw, they had the thing. Move you emotionally, man. And buddy, if you were saved, you was wondering if you were and had to go get saved again. See, I grew up in circles where people thought you'd get saved more than once. You only get born again one time. You don't get born again 19 times. I must have got born again 150 times before I was 11 years old. Because every church service was a guilt trip of some kind. I preach long enough and hard enough, somebody's going to feel guilty and get up here and I can call headquarters and give them my numbers of how many got saved. Some of these guys that talk about people getting saved in their churches, we had 12 saved last Sunday night. We had 6 saved last week. Man, if everybody got saved, they said got saved, that church would have 800 people. They still got 75. Something wrong with these numbers, man. Well, you got reruns, what it is, just a bunch of reruns. Boy, I'm preaching really well today, and if I'd have known it was going to be this good, I'd have picked up a hitchhiker and brought somebody with me. I'll tell you what. But now I want to show you something here, and I'm closing with this. Look here. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So now, immediately, he makes a difference in believer, unbeliever. Then he gives you all these synonyms. Look here. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? He just gave you a nickname. Righteousness. Bible said there's none righteous, no, not one. Yeah, and you didn't read the whole chapter. You're quoting chapter Romans, chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, but you didn't go up to verse 18, 19, did you? Sure, there's none righteous, no, not one. Then he tells you what the unrighteous are like in Romans 3, and then he goes ahead and says, but now the righteousness without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness which is the faith of Jesus Christ unto and upon all them that believe. Come on, amen. We're not righteous in ourselves, but Jesus makes me his righteousness when I believe on him. So your nickname is righteous. There is an us and a them, and I'm not speaking in a self-righteous way. I'm just telling you, there is an us and a them. I'm not finished. Look at verse 14. What communion hath light with darkness? I have another nickname for you. Light. And who are you? Light, righteousness, believer. As opposed to unbeliever, unrighteousness, and darkness. He's not finished. Verse 15. What concord hath Christ with Belial, or the prince of devils? Now don't go out here and say you're Jesus. Because you're not. I want to be like Jesus, but he wouldn't have this waistline. I've lost a bunch. I'm halfway there. Like about 75 pounds. I got another 85 to go, but it's just hard to get that last half off, but I'm going to do it. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. What's your point? Jesus, he's not talking about the length of your hair, your beard or not beard. That's not how you look like Jesus. It's your character. It's your spiritual value. And folks, I am Christ. Now, don't blame said he's Jesus. No, I am Christ. I'm reading the Bible to you. He compares righteousness with unrighteousness, light with darkness. Then he Christ with the father of demons. So in that sense, we're Christ. Now, here's how you're Christ. When you go out to eat today for lunch, and the waitress takes 6.5 minutes to bring your butter, and your potato's already cold, cut her some slack. At least she showed up for work. That's a good place to clap right now. Come on. She showed up for work. And she's trying to raise 3 kids on Waffle House pay, and her stud left her because they never were married. Cut her some slack. That's Christ. I don't like a lot of political things someday, but some days I just get a burden to pray for those poor souls, the Bidens and Kamala. Everything in my flesh is wants to, but no, they have a soul. They're going to live somewhere forever. You got to pray for people you don't even like. I think I've said enough. You probably know where I stand. Just read the back of my truck. Oh, okay. enough of that. Jesus wasn't a Republican or a Democrat, but he is right. He's always right. Come on, amen. Now look here. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? He's comparing. So you're a believer. You're Christ's representatives. You're light and you're righteousness. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? You are the temple of God. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, walk in them. I will be their God and they'll be my people. Wherefore? Thank you, Brother Hagin. Wherever you see a wherefore, see what it's there for. In other words, now folks, I want to tell you something. My sermon now will be over in about 3 to 4 minutes. Now listen, I'm going to crank up and really get going. I kind of pace myself so I don't destroy my voice. I don't just preach, I sing, okay? But listen, I'm going to really get going here. And right now is a good time for you to start getting happy if you haven't yet. If you've been waiting until the end to do it, this is the time to do it. Wherefore, in other words, in light of everything I said, Pastor, in verses 14, 15, 16, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be an old gray-haired man with a club cross-eyed with spittle on my beard. No, he said, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall not just be my servants, but you shall be my sons and my daughters. In other words, you do not clean up to become righteous. It ain't going to get any better than this, by the way. You don't clean up to get light. You don't clean up to become a temple of God. He's the cleaner upper. And once he's in there, in light of that, that's why you come out from among them. You don't come out from among them to become something. You're already something. And because you're already something, you come out from among them. Whew. Man, that's good. I hadn't heard that in a while. That's really good. I'll be a father. I won't just be a slave driver. Get out that weed eater. That Carl is a good weed eater person too, man. She cut down some weeds this week that were taller than her. And you know, chapters were added in the 1300s. When Paul wrote this letter, he didn't say, verse 1, chapter 7. So pretend that 7's not there. Listen to this. Having therefore promised these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In other words, the holiness is a response. If you're doing it in the flesh to be holy, it's the flesh trying to fix the flesh. And that can't ever work. Never works. Never works. That's why Paul said, come on, guys, come on the stage. That's why Paul said, boy, this has been good, ain't it? I've really preached myself happy. I got to preach on Father's Day. Thank you, Pastor, for letting me do that. Listen, this stuff has worked for the Bowman family for a long time. And I'm just so glad I got to share. I want you to think about your Father in heaven. There's a verse over in Romans 10. I'm going to do that. I just lay aside an F. In Romans 10, there's a verse about verse 20. He says, all day long, I've stretched forth my hand to a gainsaying people. In other words, I've reached out to you, but you just ran on by. Too busy. Too busy, God. I'll talk to you later. I like to think about God. It's like when you dads are sitting there in the easy chair and you got a pocket full of M&Ms or Skittles. Kid don't know that. Kids run around like a racetrack around the living room. Every time he comes by, you try to grab him. Hey, no, too busy, too busy, too busy. No, jump up in an easy chair with me. I want to talk to you, son. He thinks you're going to tell him something he don't want to do. But he don't know that you went to the carryout today and got him some Skittles. And if he'd just jump up in your lap, he'd say, look what I got you there. Father God, start thinking that way about your Father God. Not like you're cutting him a break because you talk to him. He's got along a long time before you was ever here, and he'll be fine after you're gone. The fellowship isn't about him. It's about you. You need it. Who all knows we need God?
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.